This is Global Air Force.
Fascinating thing about God is that whatever He wants from you, He intends to give you. You know that, right? Whatever He wants from you, He intends to give you first.
And here's your host, Jim Rohn.
Today on our program, we have a guest speaker, teacher, by the name of Graham Cook. Graham has originally come from Southampton, England, but now he is in the United States. He is a noted conference speaker, teacher, and author. He's authored many books. He's the founder of Brilliant Book House. Now, prophecy is something that God has given to His body of believers, to the church, to individuals. In the Bible, it says that His gifts were varied, some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers. God has given people with specialized talents for our development, for our growth. And these specialized talents sometimes are lost in the body at large, in the church at large, in our philosophies and understanding at large. But nevertheless, God has given gifts to you that you can develop. It says in the next verse, His intention was the perfecting or the full equipping of His saints or called out body so that they can do the work of the ministry. My interest today for this program is that you would learn what God would have you learn through, as I believe, an exceptionally articulate and insightful teacher, and you would apply it individually in your life. And here he is as we jump right into the middle of his conference. Graham Cook. We love you, Graham.
Thank you. Okay, Holy Spirit, thank you that you're here. You're so welcome. Come and do what you do best. Just brood over us, breathe on us, touch us, hug us, whisper in our ear, touch our hearts, give us a nudge. You're such a genius at life. Amen. I want to talk to you about the fact that prophecy gives you a voice. Prophecy is always about the joining of the present to the future. Several times Jesus said, a time is coming and even now is. John 4:23, 5:25. When the Father speaks to us of the future, it's already occurred in His heart. Yeah, so He's always signing off on a done deal. That's what makes alignment with God so wonderful. You know that He's seen a version of you in the future, and He's relayed that version of you to you in the present. So what is a future word with Him, what is a now word with Him becomes a future word with you. But you know that if He's seen something of you in the future, then what it means is the process that takes you from where you are now to what He's seeing is already guaranteed if we stay in alignment. Yeah? And that's just, what that means then is that everything between prophecy spoken and prophecy fulfilled, everything between those two places is designed for you to overcome. So if God gives you an outcome, it means you're going to survive the process. Right? But here's the thing. God doesn't want you to survive. He wants you to prosper. So what we are learning, I feel, is we are moving from being a church that loves prophecy to being a prophetic community. And there comes a point in your own life and relationship with God when you have to grow up in your attitude about the prophetic. There comes a point when you've got to stop collecting prophecies, and you need to do something with them. There are certain people now in our church where we're just saying, enough is enough. You don't need any more prophecy for the next 5 years. You need to start working on the ones you've already got. Otherwise, what we're doing is we're devaluing the Holy Spirit in the whole prophetic process. There comes a time, guys, when you have to stop collecting prophetic words and start actually being intentional about the ones that you've got. So that's my assignment for this evening, hopefully. Prophecy must become as true in our heart as it is in the heart of God. Because His promise is as good as its fulfillment. Because there is no difference in His heart between the word spoken and the word fulfilled. He sees it as He speaks it. So one of my friends, Kim Clement, wrote a brilliant song years ago. And the tagline was, God sees you in the future and you look much better than you look right now. God sees you in the future and you look much better than you look right now. Yeah? Which is a great blessing to all the rest of us. So if you have the promise, you have the blessing. Because in the passion of God for you, they're one and the same. The church treats prophecy as an event, not as an invitation to become someone. And in many places, we treat prophecy as magic, not as a guaranteed process to acquire the promise that God wants us to have. Everything about God is intentional. Whatever God is, He is relentlessly. And His purpose consistently has been about bringing many sons into a glorious relationship with Him. To produce children of promise, Galatians 4:8. To produce wonderful heirs of the promise, Galatians 3:29. To produce a people who could be partakers of His promises, Ephesians 3:6. God is really intentional. His whole language is full of promise. He loves to promise. And when He puts a promise in your life, He feels that he's put something there that's a done deal. And you know, the reality is, if God grants you something, He gives you permission to take Him for granted. He's not messing around when He promises you something. What He's doing is He's saying, if you will step into this promise with the same intentionality as the way I have stepped into it, then this promise will not only realize you a future provision and blessing and so on, but it will actually be a major part of you developing your character and your nature in line with who I am for you. All prophecy leads to relationship. Every single thing that God is doing in your life, it's relational. And it's relational first. When He says that He wants to have the preeminence in all things in our lives, what He means is, I want everything in your life to be about relationship with Me. Therefore, every problem, every difficulty, every oppositional circumstance is about relationship first. Our problem a lot of the time is we go to God functionally. We want a problem resolved. We want an issue dealt with. So we go to God functionally like some kind of glorified slot machine. You stick a prayer in, you expect to get something out. But everything about the Lord is, as far as He's concerned, your problem is the second thing on His list to address. The first thing on His list is you. He wants to be something for you. He wants to use this situation to upgrade your fellowship with him, to increase your relationship with him. So everything, when he says, I want the preeminence, what he's saying is, I want you to want me more than anything else. Fascinating thing about God is that whatever he wants from you, he intends to give you. You know that, right? Whatever he wants from you, he intends to give you first. So, 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. It takes God to love God. Only God can love God properly. Yeah? So, here's the thing about you. Life in the Spirit is about one thing for us. It's about learning to receive under pressure. Your primary role in your relationship with God is to learn to receive from him, because he is the initiator, you are the responder. God does not ask you to do anything first. He wants to be first. He wants to have the preeminence. That means in this game of life that we're playing with him, he goes first. Yeah? We love him because he first loved us. That was John's perspective. James' perspective in chapter 1:17 says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow or variation. Everything comes down from God. Every good and perfect gift. So God likes to give first. Yeah, he's a giver. That's why he's teaching us to be made in his image. He's teaching us to give. But in our relationship with him, our prime responsibility is to receive. So when you come before God each morning, you have to let God do something for you. That's what waiting on the Lord is all about. We're waiting for God to take his first turn. We're waiting for God to initiate. I like waiting on the Lord. I spend 4 months of my year waiting on the Lord. John the Baptist in John 3:27, he said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. In Romans 11:35, 36, Paul says, who has first given to him that it may be paid back to him again? Then he says this, for from him, through him, and to him are all things. So this is the way it looks. God connects with you in gifting and provision and blessing and so on. And everything comes from God, and it comes to the Jesus in you. So the brilliant thing is, you can be behaving like a complete idiot and you're still going to get blessed. Because the Father will bless the Son that's in you. Everything comes from him. It comes through him. It goes back to him. We're just completing the cycle. That's why everything that God wants from you, he intends to give you first. So every time God makes a command on us, you know there's a promise behind it. Because he won't allow you to initiate first. That's his job. He's the creator. He loves to create. He loves to initiate. He loves to promise. He loves to speak things into your life. And what we're learning is how to come into alignment with the way, with the language of promise that God loves to use in our life. So when you have a promise, you know that God is taking something seriously. He's being serious about who you are, and we need to get serious back. Paul also said in 1 Corinthians 8:6, he said, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for him. And there's one Lord Jesus, by whom are all things, and we exist through him. The Father is really intentional about you being made in his image. That's why he gives you promises in the first place, because promises get you through the bad places. All prophecy leads to relationship. 2 Peter 1:4 says, he has granted us his precious and magnificent promises so that by them you may become partakers of his divine nature and escape the corruption of the world. So the promises and the prophecies of God are given to increase our relationship with him, so that we learn to be good children who grow up to be sons of God, who grow up to be heirs of the Christ. So at every level, we are partaking of his nature. You know, every single one of us in this room, we have multiple identities, but one personality. Thank God for that, eh? What's true in the natural is true in the spirit. So I'm a son, I'm a brother, I'm a cousin, I'm a nephew, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a grandfather. Multiple identities. What's fascinating is that when you get to be with your family on Thanksgiving, yeah, you automatically fall into each identity as it becomes appropriate. So you wouldn't talk to your grandfather the way you talk to your nephew. You automatically fall into the role of granddaughter, grandson. You wouldn't talk to your mother like you talk to your sister. You automatically, instinctively, intuitively, you fall into line with the relationship that's in front of you. Yeah? We have multiple identities, one personality. And that's the same that's true in the spirit. So when we're learning, as we're growing up in ministry, we are taking on board certain identities that God has established. That's why when Jesus, as he was preaching, in his I am statements, I am the door, I am this, I am that, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What's he doing? He's declaring who he is. This is who I am. He's declaring his identities. When he went and read out Isaiah 61 in his hometown church, he's saying that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, and he begins to declare who he is and what his identity is and what his function is through that identity. He's got prophecy, he's got promises, and he's living by them. And those promises and prophecies, they open you up to establish the identity that God wants you to have in this world. So you get to know, this is how I represent the kingdom. This is who I am. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm here for. So for me, for many years now, I stopped doing conferences. I stopped doing meetings. I only take assignments. And honestly, I'm not leaving my house unless it's an assignment. I'm not saying yes to anything unless it's assignment-based. I want to know what I'm here for, what am I going there to do, what am I opening up, what am I a catalyst for. And I have a couple of hundred very happy prophetic intercessors, and they're called the Warrior Class. I think we might have a few people here. Who's here? Yeah, one, wave, couple. Three, four. Yeah, we got enough troublemakers. Their job is to get me into trouble in the clash between two kingdoms. Yeah? So I take assignments. Why? Because I know who I am for the body of Christ, and I know who I am for the kingdom. So to some people, I'm apostolic because I've lost track of how many churches I planted. Some people, I'm a consultant, I'm an advisor. To others, I'm a prophet. To others, a teacher. To others, a mentor. Whatever. Multiple identities. Thankfully, hopefully, one personality. You have to know who you are. And you have to steward who you are. You have to cultivate that identity in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And that's what your prophecies and your promises do. They help you to steward who you are. They help you to become a good servant of the Lord. They help you to become a son. They help you, hopefully, one day to be one of the friends of God. They help you to grow up into all things in Christ. Between a prophecy spoken and its fulfillment lies a situation, a time to become more powerful in your relationship with the Father.
All prophecy begins a process, a series of steps that take us into becoming more and more like Jesus. Prophecy releases inheritance. So here's the thing. When you get an outcome, you know you're going to survive the process. So the process is not about surviving, it's about becoming who you're supposed to be. Yeah? So then you can joyfully take those next steps because you know the outcome is always guaranteed. You're going to get there. You're going to live. It doesn't matter what the enemy's doing. I get to win because I've got a prophetic word. That's why David ran towards Goliath, because he saw a life beyond the giant. He saw a kingdom. He saw a throne. He had a prophecy from Sam. He's a very happy bunny at this point. He's running towards Goliath knowing that he can't lose. And here's the thing, if you've got a prophetic word or a promise of God over your life, that's the mindset that is required. I cannot lose. I've got a word from the Lord. You have to wage war with the words that you've got. 1 Timothy 1:12. By these prophecies, fight a good fight. Prophecy is a sword in your hand. It's not a piece of paper in the back of your Bible. So, I'm just saying, you've got to stop collecting prophetic words and start putting them to work. Yeah? Because there will be at some point when the Lord will stop prophesying over you. There have been times in the churches that I've worked with when I've looked at somebody and said, we're not giving you any more prophetic words, dude. You've got enough. You need to start working on them. There comes a point when too much prophecy is bad for you if you're not doing anything with it. What it means is you have become casually contemptuous of the words that God speaks. And all you want to do is have your ears tickled by somebody else. Prophecy releases inheritance. As we change, our abundance increases. So I have a question. How many of you have seen a noticeable change in yourself in the past year? Okay, my next question is, has your abundance increased in proportion? This is the thing that the Lord is passionate about. You know, provision can be incremental in the kingdom. That as you grow into something, you get a provision. As you grow a bit more in Jesus, you get more abundance. As you grow a bit more in Jesus, you get another provision. There are unclaimed upgrades all over this room. Because we've been growing and changing, but we've not cashed in our promises. We're not taking them seriously enough. God is very serious about the words He's given you. And here's the thing. When God gives you a prophetic word, He allocates resources to it. So when you step into that identity, when you begin the process of alignment, so that's what's happening between prophecy spoken and prophecy fulfilled. Every situation, every difficulty, every oppositional thing, every circumstance is part of your process of alignment. And when you step into those things, you're learning how to become, how to walk with God in that difficulty. You're learning how to see God. You're learning how to take hold of the provisions of God. We're growing up into Jesus in all things, especially abundance and fullness and provision. That's why God gave you the promise and the prophecy in the first place, so that you could step into your inheritance as you travel. That as you grow in Jesus, so you step into the provisions that He's got for you. So all those people then who have noticeably changed, but you've not grown into your abundance. Honestly, abundance is everything that Jesus is. Heaven is plentiful. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. That's abundance. Abundance is in every single thing we're doing. Look at the creation around you. Look at how God orders things. Everything is ordered with fullness in mind. So he owns everything. He fills everything with himself. It's impossible to escape abundance, but abundance is a mindset. It's a mindset in the kingdom, and it's a passionate heart here on earth. It's a mindset, it's a heart that says, God will not take me anywhere where his provision does not follow. So we're learning that if we're in Christ, we're in abundance. Just like if we're in Christ, we're in the love of God. Just like if we're in Christ, we're in the peace of God and the kindness of God, the goodness of God. Abundance is just like that. I'm just going to pray for you right quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, I call down, Lord, the necessary provision and abundance that you have set aside for each one of us. Because you refuse to be in our life in measure. But you need us to align with your intentionality so that the penny can drop, so that our mindset is in line with yours, so that our spirit is aligned with yours, so that our passion and our heart is aligned with yours, so that we may receive the next installment of what you've got for us in all things. And Lord, I ask that from this point on, we would not be growing up in character without growing up in the abundance that comes with it. That we will know the incremental blessing of God filling us up, that as you make more space, so we come into an ever-increasing fullness of who you are, because you're bringing many sons into a glorious relationship with you. And so there are areas of our life that need some glory attached. So in the name of Jesus, Lord, we claim right now, we ask right now for provision to come into our life in the name of Jesus. That no provision will be held up, not by the enemy, not by oppositional circumstances, and not by our own intransigence. So I ask right now, Lord, that upgrades will begin to fall. That, Lord, that prophecies long spoken over us, promises long given over us, will now begin to be fulfilled as we align ourselves with you. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Can you say amen to that tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We have a request from Sharon Hill to say, I've found a better way.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.